Let's talk about it.
Here we go. Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Emma's Bunker. Today, I talk with Raina Greenberg, who is the co-host of the Girls Gotta Eat podcast. She also had an Instagram called One Hungry Jew, and now she's changed it to reflect her actual name, which is Raina Greenberg. Whenever I say her name, I think of the fact that one time I said, hey, are you Jewish? And I asked us, maybe after knowing her, being buddies for like 7 months, I said, hey, you Jewish? And she went, my last name is Greenberg. And I knew her last name was Greenberg, and yet I still proceeded to ask if she was Jewish to Raina Greenberg. So, on that note, please enjoy this conversation where, guys, I think I got to the root of my interest in dirty talk. This is something that her and I both share. We're both into the dirty talk and how you establish that with a partner, tips and tricks. Here it is. Please find her online if you haven't already followed her on Instagram. Check out her podcast that she co-hosts with Ashley Heselton. Girls Gotta Eat podcast. Here's my conversation with my buddy, Raina Greenberg. Here it is.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Well, you know, I'm fucking fine, you know.
You look so cute.
Thank you. This is my apartment.
It's so cute. Oh, wow. Nice. Ooh, does it all look nice, or is this just like the sliver that gets on like video conferencing and stuff?
No, I mean, I have found that I need to keep it very clean. It helps me mentally. If I feel like I'm living in a disaster, it just makes everything else worse.
That's actually interesting, because I was just thinking yesterday about, because one of the toughest things with me in my relationship is that I'm so messy. And if I feel uncomfortable if everything's orderly, like I'll make a mess if it's not messy.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know.
It's funny, like, what gives us all comfort.
It doesn't give me comfort. It makes me feel like I'm being, it doesn't make me feel like, if I go to a hotel and I only, I'm like stopping in, I'll go in. I need to talk to my therapist about this, and I'll mess it up before I leave, because I don't want to go back and know that it's clean.
Oh,
that's really weird, isn't that?
Oh, I was curious. It was like, you know, some people are like, I don't want to clean because my partner tells me to clean. I don't want to feel like I'm living with my dad. But it's interesting you do it when you're alone.
I do it when I'm alone. And I don't even, but I mean, this is like a thing. I mean, it's been like a problem, and there's nothing I can say about it, because it's totally reasonable. Like, someone will be like, why do you live like this? Like, I get like a junkie.
No, I get it, because it feels lived in. Like, especially when you're on the road.
It's like more than lived in. It's like all like I would walk in. I would not do this to your house out of respect for you, but if I say you weren't my friend and I was staying at your place and it was just an Airbnb, if I was there, I'd go in, I'd move the couches, I'd like rustle up the flowers, I'd move the coffee table, I'd scrunch out the rug. That mirror's got to get smudged. I get some hummus on the lampshade. It's not good, girl.
You're right. It has to look like somebody robbed the place for you to feel comfortable.
Exactly. Like, just total disarray.
Where are you staying?
I'm at my place in LA.
Are you living with your girl?
Yeah.
Okay. How's that going?
It's going well, except for the messy stuff is like not going well, because she's just, I can tell, it's going fine. It's fine. It's fine. I mean, I think
it's no one's dream to be trapped with another person for 5 weeks. No one's like living their best life right now, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's me, her, and her brother, and her brother's been like a saving grace, actually, because he's been like helping us out. But yeah, it's been okay. And I'm still not drinking, so I'm just, you know, doing it sober.
I'm impressed. I decided I was going to completely quit drinking the day after the Super Bowl, so February 3rd, and I like made it like a month, and I felt really good, and then it started, and I was like,
wait, what happened on the Super Bowl? Because no one decides they're going to quit drinking when it's just like something, they're just like, I just had a normal night, and I've had enough. What happened?
I've just started to feel in the last like 3 or 4 months before that like I would wake up in the morning, and I was like, feeling all the time, like, why did I say that? Why did I share that? Yeah. Like, why did I flirt with this guy? I mean, it was nothing crazy. Like, I wasn't waking up with a stranger or anything. Right. But there was just, like, this cycle of me waking up and being like, I overshared, I said too much, and then, like, waking up and feeling like dog shit the whole next day, and then I can't work, and I'm not proactive, and I was just like, what is the point of this? I don't like this.
That's 100%. Why did I overshare? And also, probably people like me and you are like pretty chatty people. Like, then, you know, it's like I already probably could be, you know, I'll share a lot. So then you add drinking to it, and I would be like, and I would just, and as you get older, feeling like I was feeling hungover all the time.
Yeah. And you're also in show business. And I think that like, as you get bigger and your like fame grows, like you want to like protect yourself a little bit more. And I just, I felt like I was waking up and being like, why did I do that? And like the Super Bowl part, I had a Super Bowl party here and there was like 50 people here and I was just so drunk. I was all over this guy. I made this terrible joke at a friend of mine's expense. Like we had just lost.
Oh no. Wait, I made this mean to a friend too. And then that was part of what made me want to stop drinking. Did your friend forgive you?
Yeah, I texted her the next day. I was like, I know I said, she had just lost her job. And I yelled across the room with this joke at her. And I was just like, fuck. Yeah, she was fine. And again, I'm not somebody that anybody thinks has a drinking problem.
Right.
But a problem is a loose term. But I did it for like a month and it was fine. Honestly, the worst part for me was being around other drunk people, not drinking.
It's the worst. I hated it. Because and all of a sudden you're like, they're just like slurring and you're like, oh, I didn't even. And if people give you a heart, were people giving you a hard time for you not drinking?
No, not really. Good. I think the hardest thing was a couple of people being like, this is stupid. You can't, I had a girlfriend that was, I was like, I'm not drinking. And she was like, you can't say you're not drinking until you're like sober for 3 months. And I was like, I can say it anytime I want to.
Yeah. Who makes those rules?
And she's the same girlfriend was like, you know, I think you need to dig a little deeper for like what the demons are. I was like, bitch, you dig deeper for what your demons are.
Yeah, don't project onto me. And who made that 3 month rule?
Right. Who the fuck are you? And I think that we're at an age where nobody's gonna like really heckle me about it. And a lot of our friends, my friends, are sober. So
right. Right.
Fine. So I was fine with it, but now that this is happening, I drink every day.
I'm drunk right now. Did you go on any dates when you were sober? Because I remember when I saw you and you're talking about a guy and you're like, I don't know if I'd want to go on a date with that guy who doesn't drink, which a lot of people say because it makes them uncomfortable.
I don't know that I would have loved to go on a date sober. And I probably like, my whole life changed with this coronavirus thing, but
right.
I probably would have done this in moderation where if I was on a date, I'd have like 2 drinks.
How many drinks do you normally have on a date?
Probably 3. 3 is a lot for me.
You're little.
I am. And then 3.
You're so little.
It can turn into 4. And all my dates are like 4 hours long. And I love to keep talking. And I love to keep drinking. And yeah, I mean, 2 quickly turns into 4 for me. And then, you know, I think then you look back at the date and you're like, did I like that? Or was that
right? Or did I just like the beer? Yeah. Totally. Totally.
So yeah, I'm drinking now. I mean, there's nobody to embarrass myself in front of, just the plants.
So you decided not to go home? Mm-mm. Good for you, man.
I thought about it. And actually, I rented a car to go home. I walked to Avis. I packed my whole place. I walked to Avis. My mom and I fought the whole way there.
She didn't want you to come?
She was in Florida and I was going to go to Pittsburgh and be at the house for almost 2 weeks by myself. And she was like, being like such a bitch to me about it. Hmm. And also, we just don't really like, we don't have fun together. I don't really enjoy her. And I was like, this conversation has like, reignited in me what it's going to be like to be stuck with you for months ahead, and I don't want to come.
Are your parents together or are they divorced?
They're divorced. They're both remarried for like years to other people.
Cause I used to not get along with my mom and then she got cancer and then we started getting along great. But then, but I always got along with my dad. So this is something I'm thinking. Cause I remember you talk about how you like dirty talk. I wonder if part of the reason both of us are really into dirty talk is because we're both more auditory people. Like as you're talking about sharing, liking to share and like go on, like have long dates, that all of a sudden clicked in my brain that maybe that's why we it's just more talking.
That's so true. I mean,
I never thought of that.
But it's true. I mean, I like dated this guy on and off for a long time. I still talk to him from Charleston. And he's like, you say 100 words for every 6 words I say.
That's
right, just how I am. I like to talk.
How did you get into the dirty talk? Because like, do you have a distinct memory, like how you got introduced to it? Because this is like a big, a dirty talk is a thrill of my life. It's one of the reasons I enjoy living. It's like my most prized possession. Because I never listened to podcasts, but there was a bit, I think it was Ashley Gavin's something. Someone posted a clip and you said something about dirty talk. I said, I need to call her.
I remember. So I've always like enjoyed like self pleasure. I've always like, I masturbated in high school. I discovered porn really young. I always liked that.
But me too. I discovered porn young too. How young? Like what tipped you off to like, were you Googling?
I mean, I think the internet started to get big and porn on the internet when I was like 12, maybe 13. I had a lot of guy friends, and they just, I would like hang out with friends after school, and like guys would be like, look what we found on the internet. So I think like my guy friends at the time probably like tipped me off to it. But I, even though I was like a pretty sexual person and had sex, healthy sex with people through college and into my 20s, I don't think I really realized that sex was for my pleasure until maybe like my mid 20s. I should be asking for things I want. I should be saying things in bed, and like, you can play with these different things and experiment. And so I probably didn't start with the dirty talk until like my mid 20s. Cause like, I don't think I even thought about like what would make this enjoyable for me.
Would you watch dirty talk porn?
No, I've only ever really watched lesbian porn, and I don't remember.
Really?
Yes, love it.
Why do so many straight girls like lesbian porn? I don't like lesbian porn. I want straight porn.
I hear that a lot from my girlfriends that are lesbians, that they like straight porn. I don't know. It's a fantasy. I've been with girls. I mean, it was years ago, but I think that it's like a fun fantasy.
That's so interesting. I would like, not. I love porn. I wouldn't watch like. I would do it as like a favor for a friend or something. But like, I wouldn't, I don't want, it's not sexual for me to watch it.
Well, it's like, it just depends on what I'm in the mood for.
I get more turned on by food.
Huh?
I get more turned on by watching like a grilled cheese have the cheese melting on the bread. And I get turned, that's almost sexual for me. But like that, what I'd rather, that would be higher for me than watching lesbian porn.
Do you like food ASMR videos?
No, but I fucking love food. So like if I see like some kind of, I don't know why I said no so defensively, that was suspicious. But I like food so much that if someone describes what they're eating, if they're like, I'm at the Cheesecake Factory, I'll be like, ugh, like that's almost sexual for me.
I used to work at the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
I love it there.
I actually love it there.
Okay, you jog my memory. So there's this guy, this is so crazy. He was a waiter at the Cheesecake Factory.
The trifecta.
I was 24, maybe 23, and we were like, we fucked a lot, and he was so dirty, and he is the first memory I have of somebody who like would say the filthiest stuff and just like want to be really raunchy, and he really got me into it. So he is like he's my top tier. He's the peak.
Because it usually is someone, that's so funny. He worked at if he had worked at fucking California Pizza Kitchen, he wouldn't have been able to get away with that shit.
Not anything flies at the Cheesecake Factory. He would say the nastiest stuff to me. And to me, it's like, it's almost like role play. So I always say like, I really like dirty talk, but I only really like it from a person that I care about and I know cares about me. And the reason is because I like, you know, you're a filthy little slut. I like that stuff. But the caveat is that when the sex is over, you're with a person that you know doesn't really feel like that about you.
You mean like, they actually respect you?
Yeah, they care about you. Like somebody that's going to like cuddle you and talk to you about your day. And it's almost like role play for me. And I've had people that I'm not in like a more loving, committed relationship with do that. And it doesn't feel very good to me the way that it would in like a committed relationship or semi-committed.
I think that makes total sense because you want to feel like you have the person's respect. Because otherwise it's like they're also they're referring it to you. It has to be in the context of sex. I remember I was with someone that was into, the first person that I was with, she didn't introduce me to dirty talk, but she introduced me to like, she was the first person that wanted me to do like butts, the one that was into anal stuff and like light hitting. And I remember, so I guess this was, I guess I was like just out of college. I didn't do any dirty talk in college either. Yeah, I didn't. But I remember she always wanted me to hit her and I was like, eh. And then years later, we were in an argument. She came to visit me in New York. She wanted me to have a threesome with her and her new girlfriend. I was helping them move a AC unit. I had the AC unit in my hands and they were trying to proposition a threesome. I was like, I'm not interested in it. And they were kind of giving me a hard time. And I was like, you guys need to respect my boundaries. And I lightly pushed her. Like I was like, back off, push, light push. And she goes, she was really tiny and she flew back and went, oh my God, you hit me. And I was like, pause. First of all, you used to try to get me to hit you back in the day all the goddamn time. So why is that a fucking issue now? And then she lost it and was like, you can only hit in the context of sex, blah, blah.
Exactly, yeah.
It was a light shove. I didn't hit her. But
That's what you said. But so I remember, because you got to like get like, you got to like.
Context is everything.
Context is everything. Exactly.
I slept with this guy in Australia a couple months ago, and it was like, you know, vacation sex. And he was so gorgeous, but, and really like one of the filthiest sex I've ever had. But he like took it past a level where, like, when it was over, I like didn't, I liked a lot of it, but I didn't feel great about all of it. Like, he was really physically aggressive with me.
How many times did you guys have sex before he got so aggressive?
The whole time. We fucked 4 times in a night. I mean, it was like one date.
So you need to build, I feel like it's important to build up to it a little bit. And also, like, when you're talking, there needs to be like certain cues. Like, to get, see if someone's like into, like, I'll use like certain word. I would use certain words when I would first start talking to someone to see if they respond to that. Like, I'd be like, oh, that, good job. And if I would say like, oh, I remember I called someone a good girl out of context one time, and they were like, what? And everyone I had been with was really into dirty talk. And then I was with some people that weren't, and that was like bumpy road. Cause like all of a sudden, but I wasn't saying even good girl. That's not even really that. That's not even dirty to me.
I think if you say like dirty little girl versus dirty little slut, I think those have a different connotation to me.
Oh, I was with someone that wanted me to pretend. I'm going to jump into one of the dirtiest things. Okay. I was with this person. She wanted me to pretend that she was young and I was her uncle and I was raping her and teaching her how to be a sex slave from a young age. And then, okay. Your face. And then
I have feelings, but please continue.
And then she, but this is what made me feel like this is the farthest I went. And this was the line that I crossed. I wish I hadn't. I kept saying like, how young do you want to be? And then she said she wanted to be like younger than I felt comfortable. Cause it was role playing. But then after we did that, I didn't feel, I didn't feel comfortable with that type of age role play. The uncle rape, I have no problem with. That signed me up all day. Great. Good. Pick you up from school. Can't get out of the car until you suck this dick.
I think that there's a line, and I think sometimes we cross it because we want our partner to be like sexually satisfied. And I think it's okay to take a step back and be like, that didn't feel good.
Didn't feel good. And it was over the phone. And I kept saying like, how young do you want to be? And I would say an age. She would go younger, younger, younger. And then I said a really young age. And then she came. And afterwards I was like, mm-hmm.
On our podcast, like, I think it's really important to me to normalize sexual fantasies and desires and say like, you know, as long as you feel safe and comfortable, nothing is over the line, I guess, as long as, you know, I
thank
don't
you
really
for saying
care.
That actually, that actually makes me feel a little bit better. Cause I will. Yeah. That actually does make me feel a little better about that. Cause adults.
I think we should all feel comfortable exploring what we want in the bedroom. And I don't think any of us are like sexual deviants. I think that if your desire is to feel raped as a young age by a family member, I don't know everybody on earth, there's probably some psychological stuff behind that for most people. I don't ever want to shame people for how they feel, but I do want to say that like, if your partner is trying to make you do something you don't like, and I think that a lot of our audience is much younger, like my audience is 21, 20, I think it's important to send the message to young girls, like never do something that you don't
never. Never. I had said, someone asked how to get a guy to say they love them. And I was like, tell him you'll do butt stuff. And then after I said that, I was like, but don't do it if you don't want to do it. Don't do it if you don't want to do it, please. And you don't even have to do it. Just tell him you'll do it. And then he'll be like, I love you. So cheesecake guy, first one. And when he first started getting dirty right away, were you like, I'm into it? Or were you like, whoa?
Oh no, I was so into it and nobody had ever like talked to me like that. And I remember I was like blowing him one night and he was like stroking my hair and he was like, that's a good little girl. And I was like, ooh, like I still masturbate to it. But again, it's somebody that I cared about who I knew cared about me. So yes. And then as I got older, I think I got better at requesting it. And I think the people are always like, well, how do you request it? And I think the really easy way to ease into that is dirty talk on the phone. I would start texting that kind of stuff.
I couldn't agree more in that. And I actually think that buildup is really important because I wouldn't just go 100% dirty to someone off the bat because I had a bad experience because I was with everyone wanted to be dirty. And then that time I went on a date and it was a nice date. And I was dating a lot at the time and everyone wanted to be choked and hit. And at that point I was at my peak sexually. I peaked sexually a long time ago. It's been a downhill slope for years, but I went to choke her And I realized we hadn't had any conversation, like literally just say goodnight kiss. And I put my hand on her neck and was going up to like just hold her neck while I was kissing her. And she was like, what are you doing? And then I was like, and that was the same one I said, good girl, like while we're eating fucking like pasta or something. So that's when I started, I was like, well, I need to like build into it. So you'll text, then phone, then dirty. Have you had a guy who like, what do you do if someone's like not good at it?
I'm glad you asked. I have to be totally honest. It's tough for me because I'm like a really sexual person and I'm very vocal about it. And I love dirty texting. I love to sext. I love FaceTime sex. I like to like masturbate on the phone with somebody. And I really like to talk about that stuff. I think a really good time, by the way, to talk about that stuff is also right after sex when you're in bed together. Mm. If you talk about like the kind of porn you like to watch and things like that, I think there's like good times to bring it up. But I have a really hard time and I think that you can ask for it. I think you can lead by example. You can send sexy pics and you can start saying dirty stuff. And I know this is hard for a lot of men. And I know this because we've done a bunch of episodes about it.
Well, I wonder if it's easier for the woman to be bringing up that they want to be degraded, because I feel more comfortable the woman saying, because the one saying they want to be degraded is the one that actually has the power. Like the one that's like, hit me, choke me, rape me, they have the power. But the one, then I would feel uncomfortable being like, I want to, since I would be the one doing those things, I don't feel comfortable necessarily being like, I'm going to fucking make you a cum toy, because that is the cum toy needs to initiate them being that.
I agree.
Otherwise
I think
you're, it feels less comfortable. So I think it's better for the girl one to bring it up.
I think you can push boundaries. I think it's fine to be like, to push a little boundary, but I do, and I think you can ask for what you want, but I think you have to ask before you start doing it, and you can lead by example. I have tried to lead by example. I think that some men have a really hard time with it, and like we've done episodes about like sexting and dirty talk, and we ask girls like, practice this on your men and tell us what they say, and so many of the responses from guys were like, looking good, buddy, or like, that's cool. I think you would ease, but I dated this guy all summer. He refused to do any of that. No sexy pics, no sexting.
Really?
He just didn't want to do that at all. And I actually
was
got
he
like,
religious really, or what do you think it was?
He just said like, at first he was like, you know, we're just going to know each other. I'm not like super comfortable with having like receipts on the phone of this.
Okay. Interesting. Was he in the government? Was he like a politician?
No, he worked for Salesforce.
Oh,
But at the time when I finally like got really pissed, was when I like said something about sending him a sexy video and he was like, you keep trying to do this and I'm never going to do it. And it's like funny to me that you keep trying. And I was like,
funny to me.
Oh, it's funny to you that I'm trying to like be sexy and like spice up our lives and you're going to mock me for it. And
how about you kill yourself?
Fuck you. And that's where I think the line is for me. Like you, I guess you're perfectly welcome to tell me you don't like it and you don't feel comfortable doing
that.
Like,
but don't shame.
The last person I dated is a little more quiet and I can't really imagine him saying that stuff, but to mock me, like you don't get to do that. Cause I don't mock other people.
Totally.
For that.
Right.
What would you do? If somebody like, what would you do if like you wanted to dirty talk and somebody wouldn't do it?
Well, here's the thing. Thank you for asking. this is the problem. I just don't do it then. And then in the past, what happened is I cheated. So what would and I've been working with a therapist on that. So in the past, it was like I had a couple years where everybody was into the dirty talk and hardcore sex and really kinky. So I thought that's just how it was. Cause it was literally like 5 years where everybody I dated. Have you met a comedian named Robin Shaw?
No.
Really funny. Love Robin. She's a friend of mine, like outside of comedy. And I remember I was telling, and she's straight, but I was like, you know, every woman like wants to get like hit and spit on. Like that's just a thing now. And she was like, I think it's everyone you're with. She's like, I don't know if every woman wants that. She's like, just be careful because someone might not. And you don't want to spit on someone that doesn't want it, which did happen. And I was same person I went to choke. I remember I was like, I'm not going to have dirty sex. I'm not going to have dirty sex. And afterwards she said, can you have not dirty sex? And I was like, we didn't have dirty sex. And she said, you spit on me. And I was like, yeah, but not on your face. And then I realized I have gone too far down this road of dirtiness. So then I think I got scared and I just stopped. So if I was with someone that wasn't into that, like I remember this person, I loved her so much. She was such a good girlfriend. It's just, we didn't connect sexually. But like, if I look back on it, some of my most fulfilling relationships have not had that sexual component. Like this girlfriend, she was this Italian firecracker. She's an incredible person. And I remember asking her, I said, do you like to get called any names? This is like that we had been making out, good chemistry that I said, what names do you like to get called? She went, no names, and like shut it down quick. And I was like, any hitting, or do you want to call me names? Or like, what do you, she was like, no names. And she liked silence. She wanted to have a white noise machine playing in silence. But I loved her. Like she was like, I enjoyed her company. Like she was so funny. Like she was really inspiring. So everything else was checked. Like she was the best, but no, not the sex. So then I think I cheated on her with a hooker.
I think that, like, you know, we want our partners to be all these things. We want them to be like our safe space and our best friend and this comforting person.
Yeah, too many things.
Also, we also want them to be these like sexual deviants and someone that excites us and something new and different. It's hard to find that one person, but that doesn't mean I don't think we should try, because like I'm with you. Like I was engaged to somebody. I was with somebody for years and he was a wonderful
I always
person.
Forget that, but you said that when I was on your podcast. I remember you said that. And then I remember that.
He's a wonderful person, but sexually it was just like, we'd wake up, I'd give him a little bit of a blowjob, I'd get on top and finish, he'd get on top of me and finish, and then I was just, I just, it wasn't fun. We were also young, I don't know that we'd like, but we had this therapist on my show.
If there's something there, if there's that seed for it there, you can feel it.
You can, and you can feel it early on. We had this guy on our show, Ian Kerner. He's a sexual psychotherapist. He's like world-renowned. And he
said— Does that mean he went to school, so he went to school for that?
He's a psychotherapist. He specializes in like sexuality between couples.
Wow.
He wrote this book called She Comes First. He's amazing.
I think he gets so much ass off of writing a book like that.
He's married with kids. Wow. But he said, you know, and I didn't think about this. He was like, you have to develop this like sexual literacy with your partner from day one. And if you don't start it, it's like really tough. It's 6 months in to wake up and be like, but I want this.
He's exactly right. It's also not that I used to be so upfront about it. Like so upfront, and then I kind of like now I'll like try to initiate dirty talking like quickly, like, and then that is really important. But I definitely retreated into not doing it, because when there's someone that, but if there is someone that's good at doing it, have you ever had a really strong sexual connection with someone dirty talking, but you didn't get along in any other way, and then just kept the dirty talk going? Because
yeah.
And
those relationships are fine. I mean, the guy that I slept with in Australia, we went out twice. We had one day, and then the second day we went out, we like fucked all night. I can't imagine being a long-term partner, but like sexting with him, oh my God, it was incredible.
How did you guys initiate all of it? Did you see each other across this room and he's like slut and you're like daddy, and then you're like
he did what I would not recommend. This is vacation sex only. I saw him from across the bar and I looked at Ashley and I was like, I'm gonna fuck that guy tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go on a date with that guy. So Ashley and I had been on the road for 3 weeks at this point. So I was
Three weeks straight? 3 weeks straight?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
We probably needed a break from each other. So I was like, I'm going to go on a date with that guy tomorrow. But he spit in my mouth like within 10 minutes of starting to have sex. And I think, I mean, it didn't bother me to be honest, because again, vacation sex, I don't know that I would have liked that with a romantic partner right away.
Right.
I think you got to like ease into that a little bit. But I think that porn has played like a really big role in like kind of fucking people up. Like you said, like you went into every sexual experience thinking like, I want to spit on people and do all this. And I think that porn has like conditioned a lot of people to do that more than they probably
should. Yes. And I thought that's what women wanted. That was what the draw was to me. It wasn't even like something that I thought that I necessarily wanted or needed. I thought that's what women wanted. So I was trying to show like, hey, I'm ahead of the curve. Like I'll fucking, you don't need to prep me for anything. Like I'm good to go. Pre-packaged, mm-hmm. turnkey operation. So that's what I was trying to do, because I thought that's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but everybody is a different fucking amusement park of shit.
I know. Well, it made me so happy when I saw that you said that about dirty talk too, because I don't really hear like people talk about their love for it that much. And I always try to say that's one of my skills, networking and dirty talk. And that's, and then I'm a hard worker. Those are my skills. That's what I have to offer
it's
the world.
It's a skill. Nothing is more uncomfortable to me than somebody trying to do dirty talk when it sounds really unnatural. Like I know that they're just doing it for me and they hate it.
Right. Well, they'll be like, yeah, suck this cock.
But I think that once you start doing it, like I've never seen this to fruition with anybody. Mm. Like my ex who I dated for a long time, he lives in DC. Great guy, nice person, great job, super handsome, a lot of money, all the things. I couldn't get him to make a noise during sex. And I was trying to like condition him. Like, I know this sounds like stupid, but like start with this feels good. I know that it sounds like I'm mocking him because I am, but like, just describe things that are happening. Like, your pussy feels nice. Describe it.
I think that is so, I think that that is part, was part of the problem with the person who wasn't into any talking, was because I went too quick. I should have, if I had described her to like describe things, that would have even helped me. I was like, literally anything, like just start getting the dialogue flowing, you know? Mm-hmm. Have you ever run out of dirty talk sex stuff to say?
I probably get a little repetitive at some point. I mean, if you have like a long-term relationship with somebody, yeah. And sometimes I just don't feel like doing it. Sometimes you just want like quick sex for 5 minutes.
Ain't that the truth? I had someone that always wanted to get raped. And then I was like, sometimes I don't want to role play because it's emotionally draining for me as the rapist to be getting into that gear. Like, it's just like a lot, like on like a weekday to just come home and then have to put that hat on.
It's interesting that you said that. And I thought a lot, this is like a really profound sexual experience that I keep bringing up, the guy in Australia, because it was like so intensely filthy and like kind of not violent, but.
And quick.
Akin to violence.
Quick too.
Yes. And I think about that a lot. Like, you know, if you start off on that level, like, where do you go from there? And does it have to be all the time? Like, is that what I'm going to need to do to make you come all the time? You just spit on me and hit me in the face and you need to have like 2 fingers up my asshole. Like, that's fun sometimes, but I don't want to do that all the time. And somebody that needs to do all that myriad of stuff day one, I'm assuming it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse, or maybe after 1 month, he's like, can we just like, maybe he's like, it'll like go in the total opposite direction. And it's like the most like gentle, like loving, that would be great. I think probably you're right. That's probably not, because with the person I was with that was the most hardcore, it was always just like hardcore all the time. And I was running out of shit to do and I'm running out of shit to say. Like, I was like, I don't know. I remember I asked Mateo one time, I was like, I've said these things to this girl so many times, I don't know what to say to her anymore. And he was really cute. He was like, you could say like, you could be like, wow, or something. He had something that was like, totally, I was like, I can't say that. Does, I was like, we're so far past me saying, he was like, you call her a good woman. And I was like, no, I can't. I've looked up every dirty talk thing to say. And now, cause have you ever been with someone that's in the sex industry?
Now
I've been, that's where now. I really like when I was with someone, when I was with strippers, that's when I felt like I learned like the most about sex stuff. That
okay,
was when
so
I,
what, tell me some like dirty, like some of the, some good lines that you like to use.
Okay. Oh God. No, I'm all out of practice. Now I feel embarrassed.
All right. I won't make you joke.
Okay.
I was going to suggest to you, cause an issue that I've run into is that I have a hard time getting men to do that with me once we're in serious relationships and they really love you, because men develop this like Madonna whore complex and they're like, but this is my angel. This is my girl that I love. It's hard to degrade her. And so what I would suggest maybe in that realm is like, I like cum talk. So like, first of all, like just the line, like I'm going to cum so hard, like turns me on so much. But like, the amount of cum that there's gonna be, like I like that too. Like you don't necessarily have to degrade me, but you can talk about like my body and the way it feels and how hard you're gonna cum. And I think that it is hard for people to degrade people that they love. So like if that's difficult for you, I feel really okay with it
I'll only get shy if they seem to have any, like it isn't something we've established from the beginning. That's the only time I'll start to get like a little bit shy about it. But if also I feel like they might not realize how much I'll want to degrade someone too. Mm-hmm. So like if they're like, oh, like you can a little bit, it's like, okay, maybe like I called my girlfriend a bitch the other night, but that's like real PG. But I actually get kind of shy with it. Maybe it is because I respect her so much. Actually, now that you're saying it, actually, yeah, I haven't been admitting it. Yeah, actually, I guess the more people I've been in with where it's like, you know, it is really great sex and like I respect them so much. Yeah, I guess it does actually get harder for me to degrade them. I hadn't really
Which it should.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's different, but like when you really care about somebody, like most people don't go to a place if I want to say that stuff to them. Most people are like, I want to protect this person.
Right. Luckily you're so upfront about it too, that people are going to like, I would assume like if someone has seen you somewhere, then they'll know it. So it's not like a surprise necessarily too, like if they've.
Well, yeah. Ashley says that I always like find a way to slip it into every conversation. She's like, I know that on every date, like date one, you definitely fucking say it.
Yeah, you're like, what do you guys have ragatouille? That reminds me of when this guy went ragatouille in my mouth. How do you feel about that?
I guess I am a little uniquely positioned that people are like, oh, she has a dating and sex podcast. She's probably right. Up for some different stuff.
Right.
But I slip it in immediately up front, like right day one. I mean, not first date if it's not, the vibe's not there. Like, but yeah, I get into it very early. I develop that sexual relationship pretty early, like the talking.
Have you had a guy ever want you to be the dominant one?
Yeah, a couple times. It's not for, like, I don't want to degrade men. That's dead. I'll try anything, I guess. But, like, I had a guy that wanted me to peg him. And this was a siren going by. My apartment's so loud. This is about 6 years ago. And I just didn't really have, like, a sexual dialogue that I have today. And so, like, he brought that up. And I was like, what's wrong with him? And I was like on the internet, like looking it up, like what was mentally wrong with him? And then I really didn't think about doing it. I was perfectly happy to do it. But then I started thinking like, how is it going to make me feel to degrade this person and then go back to real life? So right. I understand men being like, I don't want to call her a filthy slut and then go back to real life. So I think everybody should do what makes them happy. But like, I don't know how I would feel after I fucked my boyfriend in the ass. I don't know. I've never done it. So
you didn't end up doing it?
I didn't. It was a long distance relationship and we ended up like breaking up before we saw each other again.
Good for him for saying he wanted that though. Like honestly, like, I feel like for a straight guy, like that's like a big, that shows a lot of, or straight or bi or literally whatever. That's a lot of comfortableness on their part to ask for that, you know?
And I like that people would feel like that. I want people to feel comfortable asking me for those things. Cause I think that's like why else get into a relationship is to explore those things.
I used to have sex, it's not over the phone, but like internet sex, cyber sex stuff with guys who wanted to get pegged. And I wasn't even really into it. It was just more that was like the height of me having sex all the time. So it's just like I would just go online. And if I would match with a guy on Tinder, even though I'm on Women for Women, and I'd be like, okay, what's the deal? Like, I'm gay as a motherfucker. And I was like, the only way we can do this is I role play I'm a guy and I'm going to fuck you up. And then sometimes they'd be like, okay.
It's a pretty broad, well-visited sexual topic for straight men. And I don't think that my first question back then was like, and a lot of the emails we get from girls is like, does this make my man gay? It's like, no, wanting to get fucked in the ass by another man makes you gay.
Right, but, exactly.
Totally. It's definitely like a domination thing. And I think that like, I don't know. It's a pretty safe, healthy thing to do as long as you feel fine doing it with your partner. Again, it's not like for me, but I would probably try it if somebody recommended it.
Maybe if you were married.
Request it.
And also if you're married, because if you're with someone for a really, really, really long time, then where do how do you keep things spicy? That's when I would be open to someone doing something like that to me, as if we were, if we've been together for 20 years, you know, what's there left to do?
Right. I mean, why not? I mean, you're stuck with this person's body. Why not explore it?
I told a girl once, I was like, if I couldn't have anal sex with someone and I didn't feel like I could have all access to them, I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with them. I want to make sure I have all access, or what are we even doing here?
Well, I'm with you. I think that like we should explore, like the beauty of being in relationships is like we should explore all these things. And I would rather, if given
you're
the choice.
Romantic.
I know, I'm very sweet and romantic. If I was given the choice between somebody who was like pretty vanilla and was never going to ask me for anything, or somebody who was going to really push my boundaries, I'll take the boundaries. Pushing the boundaries.
Pushing the boundaries. Pushing the boundaries. But what about someone that fulfilled you in every other way and was the funniest, most interesting, most motivating person ever, but didn't really push the sexual boundaries?
I think I would go to the ends of the earth at least to say that I tried. You know, because that sounds amazing. And I think that, I mean, let's be honest, after even 3 years with somebody, you're not fucking every day.
My longest relationship is the one I'm in right now, just a little over a year. I've never been in a relationship over a year. I tap out at 6 months every time.
Well, you have a life that doesn't lend itself to being in the same place all the time.
And my personality.
Right. But I think that, I would do everything that I possibly could. I would read books. I would consult a therapist. I think that like it's just one piece of the puzzle. But I do want to give credit to the fact that like if it's really not working and you really feel not sexually satisfied, I understand. It's not a good thing, but we're not perfect people. I understand why people cheat in those situations. It's not. I don't suggest it.
I was trying to tell empathy. I was trying to tell the person that I was with that I loved and was so satisfied by when I cheated on her. I did sexting and phone sex with this ex of mine who I didn't care about, but I did it because I was like, look, and I was like, that actually would have kept us together if I kept doing that. Cause I was like, that was just sex. I didn't like talking to her. I was like, I like talking to you. I like listening to you. And she was like, fuck you, Emma. Because she was like, you cheated on me. I was like, I know, but like I sexted, it was interactive porn. And she was like, that's such a guy thing to say. I was like, but it was like interactive porn. So I got that desire fulfilled and then I could have conversations with you. And she was not buying that.
This is a very interesting thing that you said. It's a very masculine thing. We had somebody on our show who said something very interesting. He said, women cheat to leave and men cheat to stay.
Yes.
It's a very masculine thing. It's fully a thing that men will like fuck around outside of their relationship as a means to actually fill that hole and stay.
Yeah, literally 100%. Like I was like, I want to keep talking to this motherfucker forever at the time. And that's the only reason that I did that was that. So that's interesting you say that, you know.
I think that's not like a black and white thing. I've cheated and I'm not proud of it, but.
That's the worst. It really is a bad, that time I didn't feel bad, but it really is. I'm sorry even that you had to feel those feelings because it feels awful.
It does. I don't want to be like, oh, I feel so bad for the cheaters in the world. I mean, you do it and you learn from it, hopefully.
You have to learn from it because it's the remorse. Do you see a therapist?
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I think I'm a therapist.
I think you are too.
I think that I'm relatively like mentally healthy as much as anybody can be. I'm like pretty, I have two parents that love me. I have a brother I have a good relationship with.
Yeah.
When, you know, I have this like dating relationship podcast and I'd say 2.5 years ago when we started it, I wouldn't have said I was an expert at anything. But now with how many are we at? 120, 140.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. 2.5 years of episodes.
Amazing.
I actually think that like with the amount of self-help people, motivational speakers, psychiatrists, therapists that we've had on the show, the amount of authors we've had, I actually do feel like I have really dedicated a lot of hours to this and I have some
advice. Like a degree of sorts.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, my mom's a therapist, but.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what kind of therapist?
So she I would say 45 years, maybe a little longer. She focused on, family studies and childhood development.
Oh, interesting.
Research. She did a lot of neuroimaging to sort of like understand why people do what they do. She was never like, she never had her own practice. She did mostly research, but, interesting stuff.
Have you ever met a comedian named Jessica Kirsten?
I've never like spent time with her.
You guys should meet sometime because her mom is a therapist and she talks about that a lot. And she's got like a lot of funny like jokes about it. And then like a lot of like insights because her mom had a practice at their home. So she had like patients like coming in the home.
Damn.
And she's got a lot of like interesting stuff about it. All right. I got one last question.
Okay.
And thank you. I appreciate it. How did the food blog start?
This is a longer story. I'll tighten it up.
No pressure.
So
whatever you're feeling.
I was pretty late to Instagram.
Oh, you were? Okay. Cause I always assume when I see people that someone that does like an account, like yours, the one that you switched your name in it right now, it's just your name.
It's just Raina.Greenberg. It was One Hungry Jew.
I loved that name. One Hungry Jew. I loved One Hungry Jew.
I have like a pretty solid food background. I've worked in restaurants since I was 15. It was my first job. I worked in restaurants through college. As soon as I moved to New York, I got a job and I've worked for some pretty high-end, really like famous, well-known chefs. And I went through this, so I've always been involved in food. I went through this terrible breakup and I went to culinary school.
Oh, you did? Okay, interesting.
But an abbreviated program. I didn't go to like the full 3-year program. I did it at the Institute of Culinary Education.
And did you go to a more traditional college too?
Yeah, I went to Indiana University. I have a career degree. But I went to this guy. I went to this breakup, and then all of a sudden, I had all this free time on my hands. And so I was like going to culinary school, and I was like, okay, let me make a list of all the restaurants in New York that I've never been to that are the most important groundbreaking restaurants, and I'm going to go to one every day. I'm going to spend my lunch break from work at one of these every day.
And you go by yourself?
I just go by myself. Yep. I worked in sales, so I just.
I used to work in sales. Were you good at it? I never sold anything.
I crushed.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
So I was like I would do the most effort. Like I'd have the most outbound like consultations and I was so good at making appointments and getting people to come in. And then I would be and like I would do all the stuff. So I was like great at everything except making the sale.
The clothes. Yeah. I mean, there's an art to it.
Yeah. And my boss was like, we've never had someone who can do everything so good and then be so bad at this job. And I was like,
I think that you're a people pleaser though. So
I know that's what it was.
For you to push people to like actually make a decision. Cause you're like, well, I want to be nice to them.
Exactly. If they're like, I can't afford it. I'm like, I get it, man. It's tough out there. See ya. And they're like, wait, Emma, what? And I'm like, gotta go. Woo, life is brutal, buddy. Have a good day. And then they'd be like, well, do you want to get lunch later? I'm like, sure.
Like, don't worry about buying this.
I was like, yeah, I was like, I don't know what this product is either. They'd be like, so what is the product? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Fucking no.
That is the world's worst salesperson ever.
Yeah, I'm the world's worst. And I was selling educational travel plans. I don't know about fucking geography. I told someone they didn't need a passport to go to Russia and got fired. So, because they were they're putting the pressure on me to make a sale. And so I was this teacher was like, well, we can't go to Russia. All our students don't have passports. And I was like, the truth is they don't all need passports. And then my boss said, the truth is get the fuck out of here.
If you say it confidently enough though, I would be like, that sounds right.
I did at the time because I took a couple sales training things, but that's also why I got fired because the teacher was like, really? And I was like, yeah, if you have enough students, you don't need passports for everyone to go. They lump them in with the other ones. It's a thing. Okay, I'll sign you guys up.
That is so fucking funny.
Oops.
So I had, anyways, I was taking all these photos of food with my cell phone and I was like, I guess I should put this somewhere.
Did you have an Instagram account at all? At this time?
I think I had like a personal one and I think I had two photos on it. Okay. Like I just didn't get into Instagram. And a girlfriend of mine was like, why don't you do like a food Instagram? And I was like, what kind of loser has a food Instagram?
Cut to.
And like the biggest ones later. At the time, the biggest independent ones that weren't like Food and Wine Magazine or Bon Appetit, those people had like 2,000 followers. It just wasn't a thing.
So oh, that's
like,
interesting.
I guess I'll put them here, but like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So I started just putting the photos up and I had a lot of photos. Like I would do a photo every day. So I had constant content.
Did you feel pressure when you're putting those up? So you probably didn't feel any pressure at that time. So that makes it better.
No, because it was long before anybody was ever making money from being like an influencer. That wasn't even like a word.
Which is good. That kind of frees you then. Because now there's so much pressure for it. So it makes you it more contrived. So you're doing it in a more natural way to you.
Yeah, there wasn't a million people doing it. So I really was very early on. And I had like 5,000 followers within like 6 months. And that was like a crazy thing to me. And it was around the time that I'd started working at Amazon and all these PR companies started reaching out to me and offering me free meals. And it was really the time where that started to blow up and where all brands started to look into paying people on social media for ads. And this was like unheard of. So talking about 5 years ago, I've had the podcast for 2.5 years. No, 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Okay.
Not too long ago.
It
was around the time that like, it was pretty unheard of for a brand to give you any money for an ad. That was like crazy, but I was doing
that's
like
crazy.
Meals.
Also, that's crazy that it was 3 years ago. Cause that's really not long ago at all.
It's not long ago. It had to have been 4 years
but
ago.
But even that's not long. If we think about it now, because this, like an influencer is like, that's like a job that pretty much everyone knows is out there. So if we think about that, so if someone, when I put these out, if someone's thinking of starting something, fucking go, just go for it and do it. Cause you don't know what it's going to turn into. She was just getting free meals and then it turns into a whole business. So someone's giving you free meals and then.
So people are giving me like free meals and I'm like, this is pretty cool. And then places like Postmates started reaching out and being like, we're going to give you $100 in free credit if you'll mention Postmates. And again, I was like, this is so weird. And like, I remember people rolled their eyes to it. Like my family rolled their eyes to it.
Really?
They were like, this is fucking stupid. Like you're taking all these photos with your phone. And so then I was like, okay, let me make this a business. I bought a real camera. I learned how to shoot. I built a website. How to like write and put all these photos online. And
learn this stuff? Just from Google investigations?
Taught it myself, went online, learned it. And just through practice, within a year and a half, I had 200,000 followers. I was one of the biggest food and travel Instagram accounts in the whole United States and the world. Because again, like not that many people were doing it at the time. So it was easy to grow at that point.
And give yourself credit. I'm sure it was good content.
Oh, it was great content. I really know food.
And that's the background.
Really understand
right.
Food.
You can't, if you don't have good content, it's not going to rise to the top in a way where it's sustainable growth. So even if you're at the first of something, if it really sucks, it's not going to work out. But if it's good content, it will keep going.
And I developed a lot of relationships. It was really important to me, like, know the PR people, know advertising people, know chefs, and the money came after that. And the podcast was the same thing. I didn't build the Instagram to make money. I eventually grew it to the point where I left my full-time job and I traveled the world and I worked with all these brands. So I was working with like American Express and Delta and Coca-Cola and McDonald's.
What happens if you get sick of, what if you're just like not fucking hungry one day? What if you're like, I just don't feel like eating?
I would schedule photo shoots where I would spend like, I would do like one day, I'd go to like four places and do photo shoots. And then like work on the business outside of it. Cause it takes a lot of networking and competition and conceptualizing all these ads. And I was traveling a lot for it too. So I'd do these deals with like the Marriott where I'd like go travel to a location. And like,
I love the Marriott.
I love the Marriott.
I love it.
I love it. The Ritz-Carlton, all their brands.
I love it. I didn't know they were owned. I didn't know they were the same company.
Oh, they own everything. They own Have you been to
I didn't know that. I like the Kimpton. I love the Marriott, though. Have you been to the Ritz in Boston? It's so nice. My cousin got married there. It's so beautiful.
No. Beautiful. I've stayed there in Philly. I've stayed there in San Francisco. I've stayed there in LA, all over the place.
San Francisco, one I stayed at one time, but I think for a wedding, too. It's so nice. But I just, that's like such a treat. The Marriott, I'm just like, I just fucking love the Marriott.
I love it, but.
I like it.
I grew this thing and I ended up leaving my full-time job at Amazon because I was doing a bad job at both of those things. I was like doing a bad job at Amazon and I was doing a bad job at growing this like brand. But again, I didn't know anybody that was like an influencer making money. I didn't know you could like support yourself financially doing this. This was still at a time where it was like weird to leave a job to do this.
Were you scared when you left the job or were you just like, this is what I have to do?
No, it was a very calculated risk. So I was at a point in my life where number one, I had a super solid resume. If I needed to go back to work, I had a really long-term resume. I also had enough money in the bank. Yep. I also had enough money in the bank that I could pay my rent and my bills for 1 year.
Oh, that's great. And you were living in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah, that is a very calculated risk.
Yes. Like, and that's how I met. That's how I met Ashley, who I did the podcast with, was on like a press trip for influencers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know that how you guys met. That's interesting.
She has she's a million followers.
Oh yeah. Wait, I did know that that makes sense. That's interesting. That's cool. That's a good way to meet someone that you're going to do business with, because I think it can be tough if you're friends first and then get into business together. But if it's a business first, that helps because it just lays the good pavework, because it ultimately is doing a business together if you're doing what you guys are doing.
Yeah. And you don't have to be so sensitive because this isn't like your long-term. I liked her. I trusted her. I really, really enjoyed her. I thought she was smart and funny and cool. But yeah, that's how I ended up meeting her. And then I shut down the food blog a year and a half ago because it just wasn't, I didn't enjoy it anymore. And I pivoted to something else I enjoyed.
Do you miss it?
No, I mean, I really enjoyed it then, and I still have all the friends that I made doing it and the connections. And so like I pivoted to an industry where I also think I help people. I love what I do. I enjoy it. And I make enough money now, thankfully, that I can afford my own meals. So
do you think that guy still works at the Cheesecake Factory, Mr. Dirty Talk?
I fucking hope so.
You got to go find him.
I think he's married with kids now, and I still masturbate to him.
Him and those appetizers. That was my interview with Raina Greenberg. Check out her podcast, Girls Gotta Eat, and her Instagram. You know, I felt almost like nervous asking her, even though she's a friend of mine, like a buddy in New York. I felt kind of like, I don't know, I do people's podcasts all the time. But right before I texted her to see what she was up to, I almost felt like nervous. And I've talked about with my therapist before, like having a hard time, like asking people to do things, even if it's a fun thing, even if it's a friend. I don't know. I got like a pang of nerves about it, but I'm going to wrap it up. Rate and review. If you're feeling it, please do. Let me know. Should I keep doing this when we're out of quarantine? Rate and review. Let me know what's going on. And you can write me anything you want me to go off on, any questions you want me to ask for future guests. If there's a guest you want me to have on, write me at emmasbunker@gmail.com. Shout outs for the editing from Chris Thomas. All of the video is done by Mike Levin, the homeless pimp, and the intro music. The info on who did my intro music is going to be in the episode description. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Emma's Bunker. For a video of this episode, go to www.emmacomedy.com and click the YouTube link. Subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss bonus content, and look out for a new episode every Wednesday. Skeet, skeet. Skeet, skeet.